Praise God. Well, it's good to see you all here, and I do appreciate Paul and Helen. What a blessing to have a couple that are committed to the Word and just want to see the church grow. And they're people after our heart, amen? They just want to see the best for God's people in this area. And so praise God. I shared a little bit of my history. I don't want to talk too much. I'm going to set my alarm. And I don't know whether Paul's got a shepherd's hook and he can yank me off, but praise God. Don't you love modern technology? Amen. So if I start it, it's like one preacher I heard of in Adelaide. He was preaching at a church in Adelaide, and he said to the pastor there, he said, "How long do you want me to preach for?" And he said, "Well, look, we shut up doors at 9 o'clock. You can keep preaching till whenever." So it's all right to smile in church, okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, a smile is a little curve that sets a whole lot of things straight. All right? Think about that. Praise God. So, when I became a Christian when I was about 16 and around there, people can run through their dates and everything else. I was into motorcycling, heavily into motorcycling. My hair used to be right the way down the back and torn jeans, etc. And God just transforms you. Amen. I still like my motorbikes. And I used to smoke heavily. I would probably do 40 or 50 cigarettes a day. I worked at Holden's. So people say, "Oh, you know, you've had this glamorous lifestyle." I worked at Holden's. I was a spot welder. But you know what? God saw not a spot welder. He saw somebody that wanted to follow him. So praise God. I was working at Holden's one day and I had this Pentecostal guy come up to me. He said, "God can set you free from smoking." And I said, "Oh, great." Because I've been smoking nearly 5 months after I've become a Christian. And, you know, it's not the cigarettes that'll take you to hell. It's the, there was a saying I was going to say, they say it's not the, cigarettes won't take you to hell. They'll make you smell like you've been there. Yeah. So anyway, so he prayed for me. What? At lunch, at work, at Holden's. Isn't that amazing? God is everywhere. You know, the Bible says he is the ever-present help in the time of need. And so there I was. We went out where all the pallets were, and he just took authority over this nicotine. He just did what he did, and I believed that I received. And I had no more desire for smoking. People said, "Oh, you might have been brainwashed." Well, maybe I was, maybe I wasn't, but I was free. Amen. Amen. So, and so I just started to grow in the knowledge of how good God was. And then the Lord, I believe the Lord brought Elizabeth and Norm, Dr. Norm Campbell and Elizabeth to Adelaide. And it was exciting times because they said they were in fellowship with Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And we actually had underground tapes going through our church at that time, because have you noticed that some churches don't teach necessarily like we teach? There's some differences there. And so we had tapes going through talking about how to walk by faith, how to live by faith, who God is and so forth. And then Brother Norm came over to Adelaide and started just reiterating everything we'd been listening to. And so the fire in me started to get stirred up. I wanted more of this. I wanted to know more about God. And so today I'm just going to be sharing a little bit on the goodness of God, because too many churches have got a warped idea of who God is and what he can and can't do. You know, even when I was in Adelaide, I remember driving home one night and on the radio, I thought I'll be spiritual for the night. And I turned on the radio and there was a minister and they had a prayer request, and they had this guy ring up and said, "Look, can you pray for me? My aunt is dying of cancer," and so forth. I thought, this will be interesting to see how this goes. And so lo and behold, the guy said, "Well, Father, we just pray right now. You'll just give her the power to this cross that you've laid on them to bear it long enough and to give them strength." And I thought, what? How? The God I serve is a good God. Amen. Amen. He's not the God of death. He's the God of life. Amen. Amen. He's not the God of darkness. He's the God of light. Yes. And that's so I started to get more into the Word of God, and I've done Bible courses and so forth. And there's several things I learned that are important for a believer to get established in. And one of there's basically three things. We need to know who God is. We need to know what God has. And we need to know what God can do. Yeah? We also need to know who we are, what we have, and what we can do. We also need to know who the devil is and what he has and what he can do. And we can deal with the devil straight away. What does the devil have? Nothing. Because why is that? We just took communion and we celebrated the victory, amen, that Jesus defeated the enemy. And the Bible says he brought him to nothing, a big fat zero. And if we've been sitting under Paul's teaching for the past, how many weeks? 6 weeks? 16 weeks? On the authority of the believer, you realize he's under our feet. Amen. So if you've got a message for the devil today, write it on the soles of your feet. He's under your feet. Amen. So we're going to have a look at some scriptures on the goodness of God. And one that just recently came to me was Psalm 27, verse 13. Let's just open that up. You know, it's good to get an earful of the word and it's good to get an eyeful of the word. Whatever channels we can use to get the word into us is all right by me. I have the word playing while I'm showering, shaving, sleeping. I just want the word just washing over me. You know, because the Bible says it's the entrance of his word that gives light. So if I've got an area that I'm not quite sure of whether it's God or whether it's the enemy, then I go back to the book. I go back to the Bible. Do you know what the Bible stands for? B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? You'll find I like to inject a little bit of humor, just a little bit. Okay, Psalm 27, verse 13. Who's got, there we go, 27 verse 13, praise God. It said, here's the psalmist David saying, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I don't know about you, but I used to think that a lot of preaching that I heard, it was steak on the plate while, sorry, pie in the sky when we die, instead of steak on the plate while we wait. Think about that. Amen. So God wants us to enjoy his kingdom now. Yes, it's going to be glorious when we get to heaven, but he wants us to enjoy it now. Isn't that the Lord's prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So he wants us to have a little bit of heaven on earth. I don't know about you, but if you study heaven, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. Do you know what there is in heaven? There's joy. There's victory. Amen. There's abundant life. Amen. John 10:10. Let's quickly turn over there. Very familiar passage of scripture. And I know Paul has probably ministered this often. I like to let the word interpret itself. You know, I don't want to add to the word. The Bible actually warns against adding to the word and taking away from the word. So I like to let the word speak for itself. John 10. Who moved John 10? My Bible doesn't want to turn to John 10. Amen. Isn't that amazing? There we go. I found it. It's all right. It said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So what do we know about the enemy? He's a dirty, low-down so-and-so, isn't he? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, it's interesting. The word here, the thief, in Greek, is klepto. Kleptomaniac. What does a kleptomaniac do? Just steals for the sake of stealing. So what does it tell us? He kills for the sake of killing. He steals for the sake of stealing. And he destroys just for the sake of destroying. But praise God, I have some good news today. John 10:10 says here, Jesus said, everyone say, Jesus said.
Jesus said.
Oh, I'm glad you're reading your word. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Are you glad about that today? Not just life, but life more abundantly. More joy, more peace, more victory. He said, I've come that you might have life. And in actual fact, when you go into the Greek, that you might have more life than you've ever experienced. Super excessive life. Life in abundance. Life overflowing. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. How many could handle a little bit more life? Amen. With all that's going on in the world, all the shaking and so forth, it's good to know that our Savior, He's come that we might have life. So right in this verse, I like to say this is the dividing line of the Bible. The devil is a thief, God is a blesser. I like to say it like this. I was meditating on this one day. The thief cometh that you might not have. Jesus said, I've come that you might have. So if it's robbing, if it's stealing from you, if it's destroying you, you know where it's from. Just resist it. And if you're not sure how to do that, go back over Pastor Paul's messages and you see online that we have authority over the enemy. Amen? Praise God. Do you know what I like about the word? Because it's life. It's life to those who find it. It's health to all their flesh. Amen? We might say this is God's medicine chest. You know, I've got a lot of notes here. I'm not preaching from the notes. Is that all right? I'll just keep preaching what I feel laid upon my heart. It says in Mark 16 that as he preached, as they went preaching the word, the Lord went with them confirming his word with signs following. Amen. So today, as I'm ministering this word, you might not realize it. You might not feel any goosebumps or, you know, tingling down your back. But, you know, this word is going into good ground. I decree right now that you are good ground. Yes. Amen. Say that. I'm good ground.
I'm good ground.
I'm hungry for the word. I want more of God. Amen. And he said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. Yes. You'll be filled. He doesn't want you having a half measure. A little dab will do you. He wants you filled. Filled, thrilled, and spilled over with God. Amen? Praise God. So as we meditate and think about and bring to our remembrance how good God is, let's just turn to Psalm 103. You know, Catherine and I, we went down the coast on Friday. And, you know, I haven't preached for a long time. And so I'm just stepping out. Someone said to me, you'd be an old hat at this. And I thought, no, I'm just trusting the Lord. Amen. So Psalm 103, let's just go in here. Psalm 103. So as we were driving down, I forgot to say this. As we were driving down there, just, you know, have you ever had the enemy trying to bombard you with thoughts? Yeah. And, you know, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never get the right message. You won't be able to preach and all that. They're all lies. They're all lies. Why? Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. Powerful message. Powerful message. When we understand that old man died. But you know what? We rose in new life.
Amen.
Amen. So David here, I'll go back, keep going off track. But as we're driving down, I just decided I'm going to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we started singing. Does anyone sing in the car? Yeah? You know? Yeah, I used to sing a lot of old rock and roll, Beach Boys and all that. But now I sing the song of the Lord. Amen. I put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And as we're driving down, we're just singing these songs and that, worshiping the Lord, magnifying the Lord, and it just lifted. I think sometimes we put up with oppression and depression too long. We need to praise Him. Amen? Put on that garment. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. He inhabits the praises of you. He dwells in the praises of you. Notice he didn't say he dwells in the murmurings of his people, the complainings of his people, the grumblings of his people. Amen. David said, I'll enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. I'll enter his courts with praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You're getting something out of this. So that Psalm 103 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Aren't you glad that we've got the name of Jesus? Amen. That holy name, that matchless name. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord. What was David doing? He was saying, soul, remember the goodness of God. Remember all that he's done for you and wants to do for you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits. You know, God has a great benefit plan. Anyone work in an industry and you get a benefits package? Yeah? Well, God's benefits far outweigh anything that you can get on earth. It's the best health plan. It's the best wealth plan. It's the best wisdom. It's the best salvation. It's the only salvation plan. Yeah. Amen. Just think one day we're just going to, the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed forever to be with the Lord. And that we're going to be raptured out. Praise God. Hallelujah. I used to have a sticker when I was young. Can I share this? When I was young, about 6 months ago, I had a sticker on the back of my car. You might have seen them. It says, warning, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. It certainly got some looks, you know, people say, oh, hang on, what's going on here? So, praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all, how many? All of our iniquities, who healeth all of your diseases. How many diseases does he heal?
All.
Just the small ones?
All.
The big ones as well?
All
of our diseases? But brother, I've got a special disease. Have you ever heard? I listen to it. It's almost like a pride. It really is. I'm one in 100 people who've got this special disease. Well, guess what? I've got a special cure. Amen. You just need to go into the gospels. Amen. Go to God's medicine chest. Do you know Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word. So you might not realize it today, but this word is healing you. You know, when we were running the church up at Wandong, we had a guy there, his lungs were failing. And I think he said he had about a 40% lung capacity. But as the word was going out, God was confirming his word with signs following. And he said, I went to the doctors, and this was going back a while, he said, and they said it's now up to about 70%, 80%. Amen. Because it's the word that does the work. Amen. Praise God. So then he goes on to say in verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Aren't you glad about that? You know, my life was going pear-shaped. I gave my heart to the Lord and he starts to steer it on that good path. Amen. A path of life. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness. God's not angry with you today. He loves you. He cares about you. The Bible says even the hairs on our head, he's numbered them. And some have got a few less hairs than what they might have started with. But you know what? He knows the number of those hairs. Amen. He's for us. He's not against us. But he has a plan that he wants, and it's an abundant plan. He goes on to say, who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The interesting thing I'd like to point out here, in the Hebrew, when you're reading the King James translation, you go, oh, it's all these, thous, those, and so forth. But the last three letters on these words, it says, who forgiveth. We don't go around saying who forgiveth, no? So those last three letters, do you know what they stand for? It means present continuous tense. present continuous tense. So what is that telling us? He was a healer back then. He's a healer today. And he's a healer tomorrow. Amen. It says he is a forgiver yesterday. He's a forgiver today. And he's a forgiver tomorrow. Amen. That's the God we serve. He's a good God. And we just need to waken ourselves up to these things. So yeah, so he redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Does that sound like God's an angry God? No, he's a good God. He delights in showing mercy. I think I put down here in Micah. Oh, we'll go to it in a bit anyway. Let's just have a quick look at Psalm 107. David, the one thing you read in the book of Psalms, there is a real revelation of the goodness of God in the book of Psalms. Just time and time again, even though David made mistakes, even though David went off on his own, God's heart was always towards him because he had a heart towards God. Amen. So Psalm 107, and I put here verse 8 and 9. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. I just want to make sure you're listening. Praise the Lord. Where did I go? Just go. Psalm 107. And what did I say again? 8. Yeah, I was going back. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful, what works? Wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfying the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Praise God. You're being filled with goodness today. Amen. Hallelujah. How does faith come? And hearing by the word of God. So the more of the word we get on the goodness of God, guess what? Your faith level rises in that area. See, a lot of Christians, they've got faith for salvation. Yep, brother, I'm saved, going to heaven, blood bought, blood washed, sanctified, set apart, all that. But they've got no faith for healing. They've got no faith for all the other wonderful things. So we need to grow in this understanding of the goodness of God. Amen. As I was going through, I had 2 Chronicles chapter 5, I think I've put down here, 15 verse 13. I'm going to read it from here just for the sake of time. And you'll see, as people magnify the goodness of God, great things happen. So let's see what happens when you praise the Lord for his goodness. It says, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. I underlined that. Unity. Powerful. You know, we shouldn't be trying to run down the church. We should be trying to be a blessing to the church. We're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. So we should be encouraging the pastors, encouraging one another. Do you know, this isn't just a group, like a membership. We don't, not that I know of, I don't. Paul, do we have members? Do we don't have membership at the church? No, we have family. Amen. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. So it's a stronger union than just being mates. We should be prepared to lay down our lives for one another. Think about that. So it says, as they made, they were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. He is good, for his mercy endureth for a weekend. Just when you do the little things, there's mercy there. It can't be the big mistakes, can it? No, it says his mercy endureth forever. So as they were praising the Lord and declaring his goodness, it says that then the house was filled with a cloud. The house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Not that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory, everyone say the glory of the Lord had filled the house. The glory of the Lord had filled the house. And I don't know about you, but I used to think, the glory of God. I hear about people saying the glory of God. And I heard a definition just recently. I thought it's really powerful. It's the presence of God loaded with everything good. And I thought that just sounds like the Lord. Because you know, when Jesus showed up, what happened? Miracles. Isn't that right? The loaves and fishes multiplied. You know, he took the bread. The Bible says he took the bread. He blessed it. And then he said he fed the 5,000 in one case and 4,000 in another. In Acts 10:38, let's have a look at Acts 10:38. Do you know, it's really good to be able to flow. Just flow in the word. Amen. Acts 10:38. Praise God. Anyone like Bill Winston? Anyone heard of Bill Winston? Yeah? He loves to just say flow. Flow. And what's he say? Just flow with what the people are drawing out of you. Because I've got notes here, but I just want to flow. I just want to find out what you want. Amen? And when you say enough, I'll turn off. Acts 10:38. But you haven't said enough yet, so... Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing, what did he do?
Good.
He went about doing good and healing some, most of them. He went about doing good and healing all. I just thought my Bible might be mistranslating, but I'm glad you're reading the same word. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So healing and oppression, we see here that it was the devil that made people sick, not God. Amen? Because Jesus went about doing good. And the amazing thing here, it says how God anointed him. Do you know what the word anointed means? It means to rub on, to pour on. He was empowered to heal the sick. Do you know what? He's the head. You're his body. We're his arms and his feet. We've been empowered to heal the sick. Amen? Didn't Jesus say, freely you have received, freely give? So it's not a problem on God's part on ministering to the sick and ministering to the oppressed. It's just our self-consciousness. Amen. We're more conscious of us than we are of Christ in us. Amen. And it's Christ, Colossians 1:27 says, it's Christ in us who is the hope of glory. You know, I remember someone preached years ago, we need to get God inside minded. Love inside minded. Have a look at Romans 5:5. Are you getting something? Yeah. Praise God. Romans 5:5. You know, this message really started, I've been listening to Brother Keith Moore, and if you get the chance to listen, he's just done a series on faith for provision, and one of the whole week long is on God is a good God. And as I've just been sitting there, I've just been going, wow, because you know what? The enemy wants to confuse you. Maybe God does want to break you. That's a terrible doctrine in the church. God's trying to break you. He's not trying to break you. Because you know what it says in Ephesians 2:10? Hold your place in Romans 5:5. Ephesians 2:10. Powerful, powerful verse. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. I'm looking at God's workmanship. Amen. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, the Greek word there, I know a little Greek, runs a fish and chip shop down the road. You've heard that one many times. I know. All right. I'm trying. Very trying. All right. So the Greek word there is poema, and it means a work of poetry. But one of the definitions is masterpiece. Say that. I am God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, just think about this. When was the last time you saw an artist go along and create a masterpiece and then turn around and say, I'm going to break that masterpiece and try and make something better out of it? Amen. God doesn't break us. We're being changed. We're being transformed. But it's as we get mirror ourselves in the Word, as we start to see the truths of God's Word, and we start to see, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How do you think that changes your mindset when you realize that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Because you start to see your problems under your feet. You start to see all those big things the enemy is roaring around. You know, the Bible says he walks about as a roaring lion. It didn't say he was one. It just says he's like one. Amen. So when you start to see that you're seated in heavenly places, that means he's put all things under our feet. That sickness that you're battling is under your feet. That depression is under your feet. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Amen. And why are we more than conquerors? It's because he loves us. The goodness of God. Amen. Praise God. Romans 5:5. I said we'll go back there. Let's have a quick look at Romans 5:5. Becoming God inside minded. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So our spirit is wall-to-wall love. Do we always walk in that love? Sometimes we like to have a fit of carnality. Have you ever heard of a fit of carnality? That's when that driver pulls out in front of you and say, well, that's a fit of carnality. When we were in Adelaide, one of the young up-and-coming preachers, he said, you know, I just had a fit of the flesh, I think he called it. Just let my body, just let it rip. But we've got the love of God in us. Amen. So we've got to allow that love and grow conscious of his love in us so we can love other people through his love. Amen. Praise God. Just have a quick look at here. You know, earlier on I was talking about the importance of praise. I've just put a couple of scriptures here because I don't know about you, but I like to praise the Lord. I like to sing songs unto the Lord. Do you know, because it stirs up joy. And the enemy can't stand praise when we start praising his goodness. So I just put a couple of scriptures here for your reference. Psalm 22, verse 3. He says, but thou art holy. What were we singing earlier on? Holy. Do you know, at this time in heaven, around the throne, the angels of God are just going around the throne room and they're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Amen. And do you know what? They're seeing a different facet of God. Just think, they've been doing that for eons. And they just see a different facet of God. And they come around another facet and they say, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Amen. That's what we should be about the Word. It should be something bright and fresh every day. He says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of his people. I believe we've got some praises here today. Is there any worshippers? Yes. We had a good time of worship. That was awesome. Praise God. Entering into his presence with thanksgiving. So he inhabits the praises of people. Isaiah 64 verse 5 says, He meets up with those that rejoice. He meets up with those that rejoice. I don't know why God seems so far away. Could it just be that we're not rejoicing? But brother, you don't know how hard it is, what I'm going through. Yeah? Anyone ever been there? I might just lay my faith shield down and take my helmet of salvation and just plant it there. No, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on that whole armor. Get that shield up there and start praising the Lord. Start worshiping him. You know, it says in Thessalonians, I think it says that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But I want to know the will of God. How about we just do that? How about we just start, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for our house. Thank you for our family. Thank you. Thank you. Develop an attitude of gratitude. And when we start to think of his goodness, then it's not hard to do that. One of the things, actually, Andrew's T-shirt, powerful. If you haven't seen it, you should have a look at it. One of the things I learned in the early days was the names of God. God has a name. Amen? He's got many names that reveal his character. So when people say, I don't know what God is like, we can go back to the names. We can have a look at some of the names. So we're quickly going to do that. Jehovah Jireh. Who likes Jehovah Jireh? He's our provider. We had communion earlier on. He provided salvation. He provided his son to go to that cross, 3 days later, be raised up from the dead, and to establish the new covenant. Amen. So he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Is provision good? Amen. Amen. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Is peace good? He is Jehovah Rapha. Rapha, however you want to say it. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but it just means the Lord is our healer. Well, sometimes God can make you sick if he wants to. He doesn't want to. Do you know he doesn't have any sickness? He doesn't have any sickness. So healing is good. Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's a big Hebrew word, isn't it? What does it mean? My righteousness. What does that mean? My right standing before the Father. It means that I can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen? Is Jehovah sick? Is righteousness good?
Yes.
If you want to understand a little bit of what righteousness is like, imagine if I came from England. No, I'll use another. If you can imagine some of these really tyrannical countries, and then you come to Australia, and suddenly you have all this freedom. 1 minute you're under a controlled situation, but then you come into a free environment. Your whole mindset is the old country, but then you come into this new country and you have to learn about the freedoms and the rights and the privileges that's righteousness. Because when you come out of the kingdom of darkness and you come over into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we need to learn about the freedoms, the rights, and the privileges that we have in him. So righteousness is good. Jehovah Roah, the Lord is my... Now, one thing I learned when I was reading this, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But if you actually go into the Hebrew, it actually means the Lord is my good shepherd. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? A good shepherd. It says he leads me beside the still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. All good things because we serve a good God. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner or our standard. You know, sometimes in battle, you'll see these guys, they say, oh, that's the standard that they're carrying, right? He's our standard, our banner. We march in his army and we always win. Because when you're following the Lord, you always win. Jehovah Shammah, which is one I also like, means the Lord is there. I'm working in the hospital, he's there. I'm working in a factory, he's there. I'm just a building person, he's there. He's Jehovah Shammah. Didn't Jesus say, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth"? Praise God. Praise God. So he's always with us. Even when you don't feel it, he's there. Praise God. I'm just whipping through these notes and I'm coming to an end. I'm circling the airport. Is that all right? One of the terms we use for the new covenant is the gospel. Is that right? What's the gospel? Another term for gospel, anyone? The good news. So it's the good news about a good God and a good Savior and a good shepherd. Amen? And the giver of every good and every perfect gift. James 1, 17. Quickly turn over there. James chapter 1. Boy, it's amazing how fast time goes. I said to Paul, he said, "You can preach for 45, 50. I'm going, if I go for half an hour, would that be all right? But there's, when you have the word in you, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So he says in James chapter 1, verse 17, I'm going to read verse 16 because I think it's important. He says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, not even a shadow of turning." You know, have anyone seen a sundial? You know what a sundial is? Yep. It's, they generally just face in a direction and it'll have a clock and it will just, and just the slightest movement of the sun, you'll see this shadow start to come. There's not a shadow turning in the Lord. So guess what? I have good news today. When you wake up tomorrow morning, this word still says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, it still says by the stripes laid upon the back of Jesus, you were healed. It still says that in all these things, you're more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Amen? But I don't feel like it. We don't walk by feelings. I heard a famous preacher years ago, I'm talking way back, and I'd love to quote this because it's a powerful poem. And he says, "Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My faith is in the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing." Amen. Is that good? Yeah. Amen. So we have a good news about a good God and a good Savior. Amen. How else do we know that God is good? I'm going to run through some things real quick. How do we know that God is a good God? There's so much more. I have scratched the surface, but I trust it's encouraged you. It says, how do we know that God is good? He gave us himself, a heavenly Father. How do we know he's good? He gave us his Son, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. How do we know he's good? He gave us the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our guide, our counselor, our comforter, our intercessor, our helper, our standby. We are equipped. Amen. He gave us his word. It's a word of life and it's a word of light. It's an answer book. He gave us the ministry gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. So Paul and Helen, they've been called into a ministry. They're ministry gifts from God. We need to respect the gifts that God has given us. Do you like it if you've given a gift to somebody and you see it weeks later and it's just lying there and gathering dust and everything? It doesn't excite you. Well, God wants us to respect and honor gifts. Amen. He gave us a new covenant He gave us all things that relate to life and godliness, and he gave us all spiritual blessings. How many?
All
spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And finally, this is one I got really excited about. He gave us a name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. That in that name, every knee, and I like to say every need, shall bow. Amen? Every need of healing. If you've got sickness in your body today, the name of Jesus is above that name. Cancer is just a name, but Jesus is the name above all names. Praise God. Well, I thank you for your attention, and my time has run out, so praise God. Did you rejoice? Let's just give the Lord thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. Amen.